It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm still the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And this is a special day for me today because we have moved to Thursday nights at 7 p.m., which is great. We got the drive time, the prime time. We're not on Sunday when everyone was, drinking and watching golf. People are actually listening now. And that's a familiar laugh that we haven't heard for so long, and it's really touching. I'm very excited, and so are all the fans.
I hear them.
You hear them.
Yeah.
Back with me, my partner in crime for 7 years, Carrie Kasem.
Oh, it's so good to be back, Alan. It's so good. Oh, wow. I have to say, it is.
She's looking around the room.
I miss this place.
Never seen this studio before. She's looking around. This should be a television show because that was such a great take. When I introduced you, you started looking. You were looking up and you're looking at the ceiling. They still haven't replaced the ceiling tiles there. And looking at the LA Weekly and 790 KBC banner.
Daryl.
And Art. Everyone surrounding us in the studio. What the heck have you been doing since you left me?
So much. You know, I've been back and forth from Florida because, I just love it there. I have to say, it's like I can breathe out there. A lot of my friends moved out there. So it's been really nice being there and doing my radio and podcast stuff from there because I have that show I can't wait to announce, which I'd love to come back here and announce this
eight-part
series I've been working on for the last year.
So the funny part is because when you were last on the show, you said you were moving to Florida. And when you're coming in today, because, of course, we have a great show planned. We've got great guests. And we're going to talk about something that you're very knowledgeable about, Facebook.
Yeah.
She goes, yeah. Being censored on Facebook some of the censorship. But we're going to talk about that. But I didn't know you were going to be in studio. I thought you were in Florida, and I thought we were going to be doing like some Zoom or FaceTime call with you.
Well, I was supposed to be in Florida, and then I got more work out here, which has been amazing. I'm not even sure if I can say what I'm doing, but I'm doing something really big for Netflix next week.
Wow.
It's huge. So I'm doing that. I have this series coming out. I have two of my shows now that have been picked up by production companies. And it's like all of a sudden just things started to move forward.
Well, you know, when you left the show, that's what the key was. All of a sudden you took off. Anyone who leaves this show, I'm thinking of leaving this show. Maybe I'll have a career.
There you go. You can't be busier than you already are. You're so busy.
Yeah, I am.
So, yeah, that's what's been happening. So I'm back here working a bit, going to head back to Tampa, Clearwater, at the end of the month. And I'm shooting two short films. So,
wow. So tell me something that no one knows, because when your father, unfortunately, was going through all the trauma and all the drama, you announced it on Gervie's Law.
I did.
So, tell me now something that you're going to announce on Gervie's Law. I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay, so I can't say too much, but for those of you listening that you haven't listened to Gervie's Law and you don't know who my dad is, he was Casey Kasem, still is my dad. He's a wonderful man, incredible broadcaster, but even a better dad. And just trying to see him at the end of his life was very hard. And so I went off and I changed the laws in this country and almost half the states. But I have something coming out about that. Can't say too much more, but it's a very big project. I'm very proud of it. It's taken a year and an amazing team. And so when I can announce what, when, where, I'll come back here and I'll break the news here first.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
And what about your podcast? Where can people listen to your podcast if not listening to Gervie's Law?
Yeah, so that is part of what I'm doing. So I have the Red Pill podcast that I put on hold, and you can still listen to it. You can still look it up at theredpillpodcast.com. But, I've been doing that since 2010.
I know that.
Is crazy is these, it was a fun conspiracy show. It was entertainment, but a lot of these people that we had on back then talked about what was going to happen now, and we still have those recordings. And it's pretty crazy. So yeah, it was a fun entertainment show that turned into, wait a sec, wait, hold on. That was said 10 years ago.
Right.
And now that's happening now. So it's interesting. It's interesting.
But didn't you start getting censored with some of the stuff? I mean, we're going to talk about Facebook. Why don't you give some of the background with your social media and how you've been censored? And maybe when we talk to our guests, we can find out if that's kind of normal or if they targeted you or if they target people.
Yeah, of course they target people. That was in Congress. You know, if anybody cares to watch any of the congressional hearings on Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, the guy from Twitter and the guy Bezos, you know, what they've done, you know, to people who have a different opinion is unconstitutional. But I, the first time I was censored, Alan, was like 2011, 2012, when I had a woman named Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on talking about her research with vaccines. I had, we did the show with her, and a couple of years later, we were doing The Best Of. We tried to find that show. Thousands of downloads. Tried to find the show. It was gone from my engineer's computer. It was gone from mine and from my co-host.
Wow.
We got back on air and we said, if anybody has this show, we know we have thousands of downloads. If anybody has this show, please send it to us. Every single show was gone. That's the first time I experienced that. And then
but that wasn't social media.
No, but my co-host quit on that one. But that was censorship. That's the first time I experienced it. Now on social media, I just gave an opinion on certain things that were going on. It was never like Trump all the way, Trump, nothing right. like that. It wasn't even political. It was like, wait a second. You know, this doesn't seem right to me. Censored, shut down, what unable to go live. It was incredible to me that my voice was completely cut off for having my own opinion.
And that includes with vaccinations or anything.
I was talking about, I think there was something that really, I this is what literally did it for me. I took a screenshot of the CDC. I put that screenshot up and that's all I did. I said, here are the actual statistics from the CDC.
For
COVID. Like people were saying, you know, they were giving these wrong numbers about how many people were dying, how many people had it. So I just put it up. I said, here it is from the CDC. They shut my entire Instagram down. Nobody could see my posts. When I did this on Facebook, Facebook wouldn't let me go live. I mean, I there were certain opinions I could give. And I said, this is just an opinion. And they seemed to be okay with it. But if it was anything dealing with COVID at all, I was completely shut down.
And wow.
Yeah. So it was, and it wasn't me.
Isn't that frustrating though? I mean, now with everything going on and, you know, numbers going up and down and different opinions coming out and people, the vaccinations, you know, being from Canada, it's been just a disaster with vaccinations. They didn't get enough and, you know, people are fighting. And then they said, you get one and you can't get a second one. There's so much different information going around.
Yeah. And they're not doing. And, you know, I am all for your power of choice. You want a vaccination? Great. You don't? Great. But for the media to only give one side of the vaccinations and not express what what's going on with the side effects and with deaths, you don't hear any of it. But if you go to VAERS.com, V-A-E-R-S. It's a government site. They have to report the side effects and deaths. So you can look at them there. But
with respect to the vaccinations. But yeah. This week we did hear about the Johnson & Johnson vaccination,
right.
Which
finally.
Was paused
yes,
because
finally.
Of side effects for
yeah.
some.
Blood clots. Horrible blood clots. And so a friend of mine who's a doctor received, it was Pfizer, and he got blood clots really, really badly. I mean, he had to go to the emergency room. I'm not going to talk about all the adverse effects that my friends have had, but one friend is still in bed after 8 days. Another one is paralyzed. And I'm like, there's more, but there's awful.
And you don't think that's being reported?
No, it's not. And it's like, look, you know, you should give the good and the bad, both sides, and then let somebody choose. That's all I'm saying.
Were you surprised this week when we heard about the pause in the Johnson & Johnson and their stock went down and all kinds of stuff?
I was absolutely, I guess, flabbergasted because the fact that they did do something right. They said, stop, we're going to wait and we're going to see what's happening. I mean, they've done it in Italy. They've done it in certain countries with different vaccinations where they've stopped because it was, maiming or killing people. And, you know, I said to somebody, like, on, you know, somebody actually had the audacity to say these vaccines have never killed anyone. And this is what the media is doing. Instead of saying, look, yeah, there's some risk, like any vaccine, there's risk, right? There's deaths from vaccine. People know that there's vaccine deaths. It's a very small amount, but why aren't we giving the pros and cons? Why is it just pro instead of saying, look, if you've got these different issues, maybe you shouldn't take the vaccine because it could hurt you. That's all. And I don't understand why that's being censored.
Yeah, well, I mean, you talk about censorship. We're going to talk about that today,
yeah.
Because it's not only on obviously COVID-related things, all kinds. I mean, the stories we can hear, especially from Chris Gray, who we're going to bring on after the break. He sued Facebook over getting PTSD as a result of the exposure to the content on Facebook and I'm sure other social media. You know, you talk about the power that these social media companies have and how the abuse, you know, we can talk about in Gervie's Law, how we have for the longest time, and I know you know this and remember it, we can't get any of our ads boosted because, and this I'm sure will be no different. You know, we're going to talk about Chris Gray. Do you think that Facebook is going to boost our post and we can give them money to be able to get our show out there? Do you think that's going to happen?
No, they won't let me boost. It's been almost a year. They will not let me boost anything.
Nothing.
I used to boost everything, especially my elder abuse work.
Was your Twitter account taken down?
I took it down. I won't be a part of anything that censors and takes down people and lies and then removes. Like, Chrissy Teigen had 60,000 tweets removed from Twitter because wow. She was getting so much. I mean, she'd said some horrible things about children that disgusted me to the core And she's on the cover of People magazine. Does anybody look at her tweets? Does anybody look at what she's talking about toddlers and tiaras and how she's talking about toddlers? I mean, it's...
Well, you know, we're going to find out. When you say, is anyone looking? We also have... Ray Hareza on, and Ray will talk about what's going on. Ray has done a lot of research, and we'll bring Chris and Ray on after the break to talk about Facebook and some of the content that is either being censored or is being abused, and find out from people who really have done the work and have, unfortunately, in Chris's case, experienced the negative effects. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Yeah, we are back. And, you know, Carrie, I'm here with Carrie Kasin, by the way, and I'm saying to Carrie, how does it feel when they do these bumpers and they don't say, here's Alan and Carrie?
I know. It was a little weird when I first heard it.
And, you know, they cut you out of it, and it's just so abrupt. I never can get used to it. When they introduce me, it's like it used to be this nice, long introduction. Here's Alan Gervie and, of course, Carrie Kasin, the very well-known, you know, commentator, TV personality, radio personality.
Yes.
And now it just says, here's Alan Gervie. Yeah. And I'm always caught off guard. I'm like, I'm supposed to talk now? I'm waiting for the talk about
Carrie.
It's
been so many years, you know, with that same intro.
So now we just kind of go through this and it's Alan Gervie. Anyway, I'm here with Carrie Kasin.
And there we go.
If those of you who used to listen to the show all the time and listen just because Carrie's here, well, you get a chance to hear me. Because Carrie's back.
There you go. It's what you've always wanted, though.
And there couldn't be a better subject to talk about today with Carrie Kasin than Facebook and social media. And it's really important that this gets out there. We have two people who are all over the place. They're certainly not in the studio, one being in Ireland and the other, I believe, is in New York, but we'll find out. Chris Gray sued Facebook over PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder for those who are not in the know. And it was as a result of his work and me being a workers' compensation attorney, I would have taken this case in a second, but it's in Ireland, so I don't do that. I'm a California attorney, but if anyone in California wants to sue Facebook over PTSD as a result of their work, give me a call. Just a little cheap plug. He's seeking damages from Facebook Ireland and CPL, which is the company who hired him to do the job, the contracting firm who directly employs him. And, you know, it's just been a real big battle. There was a settlement in an American case for over $52 million, mm-hmm. but that did not apply to the Ireland case that Chris started and has gotten a lot of noteworthy attention because of it. And also with us is Ray Hareza. And Ray is a doctoral candidate in anthropology at SUNY Binghamton, the State University of New York. Ray has done a lot of research in this type of digital labor, content moderation. Ray is a part-time faculty member at the Southern Connecticut State University Sociology Department, and Ray has done a lot of talking to people involved in this Facebook case, so Ray will have a lot of information as to how others, such as Chris, have been dealing with what we're going to hear about. Chris and Ray, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, thank you so much.
We're doing great. Chris, let's start with you. Tell us how you initially got involved with the lawsuit and how you had the guts to be able to call Facebook out for what was obviously a horrendous job, spending hours and hours reviewing content.
Well, I was out of the job. I'd moved on, and I really wasn't doing very well. I'd had three jobs in a year. And I'd left everyone with, you know, some conflict. And I was having trouble in my marriage and I wasn't sleeping. And then I get a phone call from a reporter that wants to talk to me about the work. And I thought, oh, yeah, cool. Why not? You know, this might lead to something. And we were sitting in a coffee shop talking. And I had never, ever talked about, you know, the content, the stuff that you have to see in the job. And I suddenly just burst into tears in a coffee shop. And I'm a grown man. I think I'm older than you, Alan. And, you know, my generation, we didn't have all these fancy modern diseases. I just did not know how to cope with it. I was totally blown away. And the reporter just made me go and see my lawyer or my doctor. And she told me to find a lawyer. And before I knew it, there was a lawsuit happening. And I didn't really think about it. I was just angry.
What did you see? What made you so angry? What was that?
I was angry with Facebook, with the way that Facebook treats the people who do the work. I mean, I'm sure you've seen a copy of the writ. You've seen the descriptions.
Yes, we have.
Some of the stuff that you have to look at. You know,
it's terrifying.
I'm not even going to talk about that with you, but it's been reported enough. But
Chris,
that we're not allowed to talk about it.
Right.
I was just going to say, Chris,
to Kerry talking about censorship. You know, we are locked in these anonymous buildings. You're not allowed to tell anybody what your job is.
Wow.
And you're providing this vital service to society that needs to be under oversight. It needs to be looked at, hidden away.
Right.
You shouldn't be refused permission to talk.
Right.
Can you just, and I don't want you to get necessarily graphic, but the listeners want to get an idea of what you're talking about. So painting a broad brush, tell us a little bit about what your job entailed.
Well, I would come in and sit down and, you know, you press the button and you just dive straight into the list of whatever needs to be done. So I was mostly on, we called it the high priority queue, which is all the nasty stuff, you know, the hate speech and the bullying and the graphic violence and the terrorist propaganda and recruiting and so on. And just something comes up on your screen, you look at it, you have maybe 30 seconds to make a decision on it, you hit the button. The next one comes up and the next one. And it's just stuff that people have reported because they found it objectionable. And it can be mass killings or people celebrating that they've shot somebody, or it might be cute little puppies for sale, and the animal rights crowd are complaining about people selling animals, and animals have rights too. And you just never know what you're going to see next. You know, you make the decision, you hit that button, and the next thing just comes up, and you never have time to process it.
But how do you know what to do? Chris, how do you know what to do? Like, I could be watching that. Like, what standards are you as an individual on the spur of the moment to use to be able to push? And what buttons are you talking about? I'm trying to envision what you were doing and how you censored, or whether you decided to let something go or not.
Well, you don't decide to let it go. You're kind of supposed to let it go, unless there's a reason why you have to take it down. And you have a reference document called the implementation standards. So when you look at Facebook's community guidelines, that's a simplified version. It's like the Cliff's Notes guide to the law, if you will. I mean, you're a lawyer. You know how it is when you're reading a legal document and what the law says you can and can't do. The placement of a comma or the exact definition of a word will matter as in defining what the rule will be. So, you know, I was looking at something a few days ago, and there was a difference between like advocating for something or just approving it or encouraging it or justifying it or just recognizing it. And these words are all used in the implementation standards. So you're having to read in minute detail everything that you see and figure out, well, what's going on. You know, do I apply Rule 27 because it's approving, or Rule 23 because it's encouraging, or what?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And if you make the wrong decision, if you make the right decision for the wrong reason, that's still a mistake.
Do you ever have to call the police or the authorities or anything?
Oh, God, no. We don't have any involvement with anything like that.
Even if you see, like, killing or cruelty?
No, nothing. No killings, child rape, torture, that kind of stuff. You know, if there is an imminent harm that you think something bad is going to happen immediately, then there are certain conditions that have to be fulfilled, and then you escalate that off to the safety team, and that's it. You never hear about it again. It just goes into a black hole.
But
it's funny, because when I started talking to the media, I got a contact from somebody on LinkedIn saying that they worked for a law enforcement team that was getting notifications from Facebook about child abuse cases. And then they would follow up and review and investigate, and they'd actually just put somebody in jail as the result of a tip-off from Facebook. So it does happen.
Good.
But for me on the front line, you know, no, I have no idea.
Chris,
don't know what happens.
What about the elephant in the room? And I know this may not pertain to you directly, and we'll get Ray's input as well, but everyone wants to know, and I know Carrie does, about political content. Some of the stuff you're talking about, which is horrendous, that you had a look at, which, you know, turns my stomach to think about, you know, may be very obvious. Do you have directions? And when you talk about, you know, your legal directives and your handbook and everything about political content?
Now, when we talk about stuff being filtered on your newsfeed, which I think maybe Kerry was talking about, you know, just disappearing from searches and so on, that's all done at a much higher level. That's done algorithmically. So what we're doing is we're just applying a pretty simple, nuanced set of rules as to what people can and can't say. And their political opinions are not taken into account. There really isn't, at our level, there isn't any directive on you know, what's right and what's wrong. It's just the language that people use.
I see. Now, before we go to the break, we only have a minute before break. I want to bring Ray in here. Listening to Chris, Ray, when you hear Chris talking about what he was exposed to, now you've done research with other moderators and content moderation. Is what Chris says something that's consistent with others that you have spoken to or contacted?
Yes, for sure. It's definitely consistent. People report suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, all sorts of issues because of the content and because of the way the workplace is structured and the lack of adequate care provided to content moderators. By care, I mean mental health services that might help them even begin to cope with what they're seeing.
I want to get into what you do with this research and how it can affect change, but we do need to take a break. It's fascinating stuff, really, and I appreciate Chris and Ray being with us today because it is fascinating. We will talk more after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am here with my former co-host. It's hard to say that after 7 years. Carrie Kasem is back, and I'm really enjoying seeing Carrie again.
It's been wonderful so far.
Wait till we start fighting.
Right, exactly.
It's coming. You haven't changed a bit. She's got her phone out. She's doing research on things that are bothering her.
I had to show you. He didn't know. I don't know if you both know about the Chrissy Teigen tweets that people got very, very upset with. And then Twitter helped her out and took them all down. And I just was wondering, like, why is this censorship happening? This is stuff that people should know. This is how these people talk and think. And it's like, whether you give your opinion, if you like it or you don't like it, it's America. We've got, I don't know about anymore, but we're supposed to have freedom of speech and opinion. And if you don't like it, then go away from that person.
Okay, well, let's ask Ray that. Ray Hareza is someone who has a lot of experience with Facebook. She's talked to policy people at Facebook and is doing a lot of research. Ray, tell us, why don't you respond to Carrie and how she doesn't understand why people don't have the freedom of expression?
Yeah, that's a great question. Also, just a correction, my pronouns are actually they, them. I'm a non-binary person.
Oh, thank I'm you. Sorry. Did I?
That's okay.
I didn't say
you said
they.
She. It's okay.
Oh, I apologize. I'll make sure that I take note. And congratulations on that, because I think it's important that people understand that. And I appreciate you correcting me.
Great. Yeah, so that's a great question. I mean, I think when I think of freedom of expression as an anthropologist, I think about what sorts of things are left out of that conversation. And I think about how ideas like freedom of expression are constructed in our culture. And in the US, and this is the case for Facebook, rights, including things like freedom of expression, are talked about as if they're neutral and float in a an ahistorical vacuum, right? If, you know, going back to the question about politics too, like tying that in there, if anything, I would say that Facebook is pandering to both sides of the mainstream political spectrum, because Facebook is interested in keeping users there so that it can target ads to users and make money, right? So that's their goal. And if anything, mechanisms to moderate content that is harmful, that is racist, misogynist, transphobic, homophobic, are actually quite narrow and don't catch a lot of some of the harmful stuff that goes on Facebook. So an example is, for a very long time, Facebook defined white nationalism as separate from white supremacy. This changed recently. And I was talking to one of my interlocutors, a content moderator, who used to work in Arizona, and she was saying that as a white woman, she had to manage this team of people. And she was saying that they, you know, they're mostly folks of color who had to action, meaning make decisions about the speech that they were seeing that was white nationalist or white separatist. And she said that she felt very uncomfortable telling them that it didn't count as hate speech. So I guess, like, from my perspective, the definitions of what counts as hate speech, et cetera, are quite narrow. And in these discussions of freedom of expression, people treat different voices and people as if we're all on a level playing field, but that's not the case. Freedom of expression isn't this abstract, neutral concept. We're not, in fact, in this marketplace of ideas where people can just exchange ideas without consequence.
What I want to say, because you've said a lot and it's important, a lot of the things that you're mentioning, one of the things that does make me pause, and I agree with you that it's important as a business principle for Facebook to be able to, I don't know if you use the word pander or not, but to both sides of the political spectrum. Why then, Ray, are we being told that Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg are really discriminating against, for instance, right-wing thought or Trumpisms or whatever it may be?
Or me putting a picture of an N95 mask, which right on the side says does not stop, like, protect you from viruses. I just put up a box. Like, it wasn't, I didn't put anything. I just said, here, guys, this can't, I put up Fauci saying masks don't help and then flip-flopping to masks help. And then I put up a box and I was completely censored. I didn't even make a comment. I said, here, read it for yourself. And I was censored for putting up a box of N95 masks. There's a problem there.
So I think what Carrie is saying, Ray, is that what you said sounds, I think, politically correct, but she doesn't feel, and I can use she with Carrie. Is that okay? Yeah.
Yeah.
Carrie doesn't feel that that's appropriate to be censored based on that kind of thought.
So I think that when we're talking about these things like freedom of expression, et cetera, we really need to be rooting it in like the longer history of racism in this country, right? So taking down far-right content, taking down white nationalist content, taking down posts that support Trump or might, or posts that may give people the wrong idea about the efficacy of masks and how masks work, that is important. We need to do that because there are actual people who will actually get harmed materially. Racism is a systemic issue. It's not a matter of people being mean to each other. It's not a matter of people being rude. It is built into the fabric of our society and our structures.
I'm sorry. That's never happened for me or my friends who are Black. So, I've had many discussions with them, and a couple of them said they've never experienced racism being Black. And I've had people who have.
But Ray's talking about
But it's not systemic in my, like,
systemic,
you mean,
racism.
I get it. I have.
It doesn't seem like you do, actually.
Maybe I don't. Maybe, you know what? Because I have so many friends who are African American or Black. And they don't understand it either. They're like, this is not the country I grew up in. But is there racism?
I think you really should visit the decades-long research that scholars have been doing and the work that anti-racists have been doing for centuries now. There is a vast wealth of knowledge, and also perhaps revisit the fact that anecdotal evidence does not necessarily indicate general reality.
I guess there's so many people who have the opposite viewpoint, and other scholars who say that this is, it's being created. What do you say to people who say that, this is, it's actually being created more? What do you say to people who say that?
What do you mean being created?
There is more racism being created now in the media than there actually was. There's more systemic racism. They're saying it's being created by the media. What do you say to people and scholars and people like, Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman who agree with that? What do you say to those people?
Well, I would say first, what is your understanding of systemic racism? I think that people, are very well intentioned and perhaps don't understand what systemic racism is. I think that this idea that racism is being created in the media also depends on what you think racism is, like I said. And it's in fact just frankly quite nonsensical. If anything, mainstream media is very, very much does not cover the depth of systemic racism in this country.
Let me bring Chris in now because Ray makes some interesting points. As a lawyer, I look at some of these issues and I think about where do we draw the line? Where is it where it's systemic racism versus someone's opinion, freedom of speech, for instance. Chris, did you have to deal with that when you were working on content moderation? You have said that Big Tech's model of content moderation is broken. How does that fit into your model of what it should be?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, I'm not American. I'm sitting here listening to a group of Americans arguing about racism in America, but Facebook's rules apply equally to everybody in the world. So Facebook has to write rules that are consistent with global values. How's that for a crazy concept? You know,
what there's nothing consistent. I don't know that there are global values, but yeah.
No, of course not. So the, you know, I mean, I love to beat on Facebook, but the truth is creating, you know, one global standard for free speech or for, you know, what is hate speech, or, you know, let's define racism in a way that everybody can agree on. This is a huge, huge ask. This is an almost impossible thing to be doing. And it's being done by, quote, experts in an ivory tower in Menlo Park. And, you know, and they all, you talk to these people, they all have the same backgrounds. They've all been to the same universities. They've all kind of come up through the same industries, the same companies. They all know each other. And they've got, I think maybe this is what Ray is saying about, you know, the media. Kerry's saying about the media creating racism, because there's a whole bunch of people with a shared outlook.
Not creating it, though. They're not creating it. Racism's here. I just don't think it's systemic. I don't think it's as where is.
The narrative that they're all subscribing to. Well, Facebook is doing exactly the same thing. And you can see that as, you know, a liberal conspiracy. From where I stand, it seems like a very narrow perspective. They don't really understand how the rest of the world works.
Now, we only have a minute before the break, and we can pick this up after the break. But Ray, I do want to ask you to comment on what Chris said, because a lot of people would agree with him. He is from a different country. He's not from the United States. He may not have experienced the same experiences that you or I have. How does that gel with what you are saying about, you know, referring people to do this research or that research? Isn't it specific to perhaps our country and not worldwide?
Well, yeah, can I just jump in there? Because I think it's also relevant to, you know, certain communities within the U.S. that maybe, you know, you don't really have much contact with, but they're still part of the U.S. It's you know, we view Facebook as this one monolithic organization that follows one set of rules, and from as an outsider, I'm trying to view America as one monolithic country where, you know, there's one set of values and one understanding of what racism is or what structural racism is. And I think very often there's a lot more nuance than that. You know, that different communities have different experiences, even within a country or within, you know, a society.
Yes, I think there's empirical evidence of that. Ray, I want to hear your response, but we do have to take a break. So after the break, we'll hear Ray's response. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yeah, we are back. Kerry, I know you know this very well. Time just flies on Gervie's Law.
It really does.
I can't believe we only have 9 minutes left.
It's because we're together again. I'm telling you.
No, fascinating conversations.
Well, that's why, because it's why we always have great conversations when we're together.
Chris Gray and Ray Hareza are helping us with these fascinating conversations before the break. And Chris, by the way, I do want to get an update on your legal situation. So we're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes, so you can let us know about your lawsuit against Facebook and how you see the settlement that took place in the U.S. and whether that's going to happen in Ireland or not. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I do want to give Ray an opportunity to respond to what you said before the break, because you were pointing out the various differences within communities within the United States and worldwide that may not have, you know, it basically talking about ethical relativism versus absolutism. And Ray had expressed some opinions that perhaps were more absolutist than relativist. Ray?
Yeah, I would say that Facebook's approach to content policies, given that, you know, they are dealing with this global user base. They do try. They have experts stationed at different parts of the world who try to understand local nuance. You know, what counts as nudity in one culture might not count as nudity in another culture, et cetera, et cetera. What counts as offensive might not count as offensive in another culture, right? So Facebook is having to deal with these large cultural differences. But I do think that the way that the policies are written, and, you know, from interviews with content moderators, including Chris, it does seem like the values of the American liberal democratic tradition are sort of being applied, which, you know, I guess is unsurprising because they are an American corporation. But there is something to be said about the limitations of that, for sure.
You know, when you talk about that limitations, it causes a lot of controversy. And I can just tell you from our perspective here in Gurry's Law, and I mentioned it earlier in the show, that we are treated like we are some political bad person. We have a show, and I don't know what's going to happen when we market this show on Facebook, but, you know, we're KBC. This is a large radio station. It streams live across the world, and it's one of the largest in Los Angeles. Why aren't we shown any respect when on Facebook we try to put some money into advertising our shows and they say we can't? Chris or Ray?
I can answer that one.
Go for
it. I talked to my lawyer a while ago because we don't have class action lawsuits in Ireland. We have to bring a group action. So you need a load of individuals to bring their own cases, and then they all get heard together. So, you know, obviously he needs numbers. He needs more people. So he's advertising. He's advertising on Facebook, trying to find Facebook moderators. And for some reason, his ads kept getting rejected. Does that surprise you?
Yeah, surprising.
Wow.
You know, but I know a little bit about how the internal processes work. So we were able to get the ads back up. So it might just be that you're inadvertently falling foul of the system, or that you are, you know, somebody is trying very hard to make sure that the rules are applied in the way that suits them, and you might have to fight your corner a bit. But you can this is the kind of case that you can win. You know, Facebook
when you
is
say,
generally fairly
but when you say, Chris, when you say you can win it, you're not talking about a legal battle. You're saying that if, for instance, you could be a consultant and you could advise us how to overcome this issue.
Hell, I need money. Yeah, we could. I'm sure we can figure something out.
You know, by the way, I do want to say, if anyone wants to check out Chris Gray's LinkedIn page, that is probably the coolest, most creative LinkedIn page I've ever seen. I read your page and I was like, I'll hire you to do anything.
That is the only way to find me as well. I'm not on any social media anymore. I can't deal
smart
with
man.
Ray, are you on
such awful flashbacks?
Ray, are you on social media?
Sorry, I'm still here. Yes. I am on social media. Yeah.
Do you have any issues with that? Chris just indicated that he's not. Do you have any issues with being on social media, or is it important?
I think that because I'm trying to understand social media, that I have to, you know, stay on it.
Yeah.
I do think it's a useful tool for networking, for better, for worse, probably for worse. You know, sometimes I get uncomfortable about how much information is out there about me and how easy it is to find me. And that is, you know, troubling, but yeah, I'm still on all the, I'm still on all the platforms.
Do you have any response to what Chris was saying? He's kind of laughing about it, but it's a serious issue about people, you know, whether it's KBC, Gurvey's Law, or anyone else, not being permitted to get the message out.
I think that, you know, when we're thinking about content moderation, we have to think of the fact that the people who are doing it are, you know, super underpaid. They are beholden to a bunch of metrics like an accuracy score or a quota, and they have to be able to fulfill these, right? So they're sort of reading the policies and applying them as they are trained to interpret them, essentially. I think that, I'm of course.
Yeah, we're like robots.
Yeah, exactly. It's not really like a targeted thing. If I were to guess, there, I think I would agree that probably someone keeps reporting your page, and there are some standards that are being violated or something. And
I don't know about that.
No, this is an important thing, man. The you don't know what the rules are.
That's right.
Do you?
No.
Right?
Absolutely.
Imagine you have a client and you're representing them in court and you're not allowed to know what the law says.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's right.
This is a
key thing. And Facebook say, we don't want people gaming the system. You don't want people finding loopholes in the law. So you fix the law.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you get feedback from the marketplace, you can improve what you're doing.
How frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
We only have a couple minutes, unfortunately. I could talk all day about this. Chris, in 30 seconds or left, what's going to happen with your lawsuit?
Oh, we're going to win.
Good.
That's less than 30 seconds. What stage are you? Do you think it'll go to trial or will it settle?
I think it'll go to trial. The settlement in the U.S., $52 million. Between 12,000 people minus the legal fees. I mean, if my lawyer came back to me with that kind of deal, I would go to the Law Society and try to get his license revoked, because that's just appalling. It's abysmal.
Yeah. Well, good.
So we're going to go to trial and we're going to
Well, we wish you all the luck.
Damages.
Yeah, and I want to know. I want there to be a trial, because so people can hear what's really going on.
That's a good point.
That's why I'm doing this.
That's important.
So many people have been denied a voice.
Yes.
Chris, we wish you all the luck. We got to run. Thanks for being with us. Ray, thank you. That really was great conversation. We enjoyed it. Thanks for being with us today. Carrie Kasem.
Yes. Woo!
Wow,
we're back.
That was fun.
We're back, Alan.
It's like old times. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. See you next week.